This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Let's pray then. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this house. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have breathed on us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that in you we live and move and have our being. And we do, Lord, just come before you. We're so grateful. So grateful, as has already been said, that we get to come aside into this sanctuary, praise you freely, express our heart to you, Lord God, and receive from you. And so as we come around your word, Lord, I pray that you open our understanding, that you enlarge our hearts, and that we would be changed when we leave this place in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, 23rd of December, two more sleeps. Two more sleeps. Are you ready? Yep. Holly's not ready. Are you ready, Humbert family? Humbert family. Kai's ready. Two more sleeps. Two more sleeps until Christmas Day. We know that the world celebrates because it's a time of holidays. Gets going holidays. The world celebrates because we get to eat a lot of food. The world celebrates because we get to go to Knox City and drive around for 3 hours before we get a parking spot. We celebrate because we get to go spend all our money on presents to give people that we don't like so much, some of them, and we give them stuff they don't want. And then after Christmas, we celebrate because we get to go to Knox City again and take it all back. No, that's not true. The world celebrates all of those things. We celebrate a time of family. We celebrate holidays. Yeah, we do. We celebrate. But we celebrate. We celebrate because it's a time when our Saviour came. That's what it's about. And that's what we've declared in the house already this morning. That's what it's about. All of those other things, they're good things and they're exciting. I'm excited to pack up my caravan. I've already taken it 4 hours on Friday to Tokemore so I get a good spot. 4 hours back yesterday. So it's good. We're looking forward to it, but most of all, celebrating the fact that our Saviour came. Let's turn to Luke. This is a scripture that we know, but we're going to read it. Luke 21, starting at verse 26. Okay. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Amen. Luke 1, what did I say? Oh, I'm sorry, everybody. Luke 1. See, you knew it was the wrong place. Luke 1. Do you want me to read it again? No, I don't need to. You can read it. That's your homework. Sorry, everyone. It was Luke 1. Sorry, verses 26. So, it's a story you know. You know the story. The angel came, woke Mary up, got a shock, and the rest is history. But thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, thinking about this story and what Christmas means and what we celebrate, it occurred to me, and it's probably occurred to you already, but it occurred to me quite clearly that this was no random act, that Jesus coming to earth as a man was not a random act of kindness. Do you remember random act of kindness? This was not a random act of kindness. Jesus coming to earth as a man was a deliberate action. The angel Gabriel told Mary exactly who was coming and why he was coming. In his time on this earth, Jesus did not just make the most of a bad situation. He didn't just find himself here one day. He didn't wake up when he was 30 and think, this is pretty bad. I'll do something about it. He didn't just come randomly. At no time during his life on earth did Jesus think to himself, here I am and I'll make the best of a bad situation. He came on purpose with a purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Are you living on purpose? Luke 19, I checked. Luke 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came with purpose. Each event in his life was fitting to the purpose of his life. When he was born, where he was born, who his parents were going to be, his steps were ordered from the beginning. Jesus was born in that time. And if you think about the Gospels and all the stories that Jesus was able to tell and all the comparisons he was able to make to life at that time, that was on purpose. That wasn't just God and Jesus thinking, I'll just go now. It was planned. It was on purpose. His parents were planned. It wasn't just a random act of, we'll go pick Mary, who's just happens to be married, getting married to this guy, Joseph. It wasn't random. It was on purpose. Are you living on purpose? Or are you living out of habit? It's very easy to live out of habit. The word purpose comes from two words. It comes from the word pro and the word thesis. And the word pro means before, and thesis means a place or, a place. So the two words together mean setting forth. The word suggests a deliberate plan, an advanced plan, an intention, a design. I'm here today to tell you that you have a purpose. Now, 2 weeks ago, Tim preached a great He only had a little space of time to preach. If you haven't heard his message from 2 weeks ago, download it off the website and have a listen to it. And he told us at that time that we all have an individual purpose, a unique purpose, and he challenged us to remember what that was and to do something about it, and how he was being challenged in his own life to do some things about that. I was thinking about that because God actually gave me this message a few weeks or week before that, and I was thinking about it even yesterday because I listened to Tim's message again. I thought, God, why are we hearing that again? Because it's the same message that I'm going to tell you today. Well, I'm here to tell you that someone needs to hear it today. Somebody needs to hear this message. God has gone to a very deliberate plan to have this message spoken again. So if that's you, you need to hear it. We need to learn to embrace the things that fit our purpose and let go of the things that don't. We've talked about this in our ladies' Bible study on a Thursday morning. And this is probably the best way I know how to describe it, the good road versus the right road. We can be on a road that's great. When I go for a walk in the morning, when that happens... Sometimes. When I go for a walk in the morning or whenever I go for a walk, I don't just step out my door and just stand there and just... I have a plan of where I'm going to go. And usually it's to get back home. That's my plan. I'm going to go somewhere to get back home. And there's many roads that I can take around Mombog. There's lots of different routes you can take. And they're all great. I can be walking along the most beautiful road in Mombog. Beautiful trees, the birds are singing. I can meet nice people on the way and have a chat. The road can be smooth. But if it's not taking me back home, it's the wrong road. So it's a good road. It's a great road. There's nice people on the road. I've had a good time on the road, but I'm on the wrong road. What a waste of time. I don't want to waste my time or energy on things that aren't related to my purpose. Psalm 37 tells us that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life, every detail. The Lord is directing your steps. Jesus came on purpose and with purpose, and I'm here today to tell you that you are here on purpose and with a purpose. It's not a mistake who your parents were, who your brothers and sisters were, what time you were born in, what place you live in. It's not a mistake. There's a purpose. Psalm 37, 139. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. These are scriptures we know, but they're so powerful. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I knew you, he knew me before I was born. All that we get so worried about things that are going on in our life. Oh, this, oh no, that's happened. Oh no, that's happened. We forget the story has already been written. He knows the end. I don't know about you. When I go away on holidays and when I go into my caravan, I'll read some holiday books, holiday novels. I know, Pam, you do a lot of reading while you're away, and I will guarantee you that Pam doesn't do this. But I get in a little bit into a book and I can't help myself. I read the last chapter. You don't do that, do you, Pam? Does anybody else do that? Jean, yay. I can't help it. I read the last chapter. I do. And then do you know what happens? I go back and I read the whole book and I spend the whole time wondering, with all the twists and turns and characters and this and that, how on earth is this story going to get to what I read at the end? Does that make sense? It's true. I'll read the last paragraph because I can't wait to find out. I have to know what's going to happen in the end. I don't know. Is that a control thing? But I do it. And I do spend the whole novel wondering, you know, different characters will come into the story and the main character will get taken off on some thing and, you know, some tragedy will happen. And I think, well, that person, I know they can't die. You know, like it's when you've seen a movie, when you've seen like Die Hard movies or you've seen those and all these thing happens and he's going to die in every scene, you think, well, I know he's not going to die because I've seen the end. I know it might spoil it a little bit, but guess what? You can read the end of your story. You hold it in your hands, the end of your story. And the end of your story says that you are an overcomer. The end of your story says that you are victorious. The end of your story says that you will spend eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The end of your story says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. The end of your story says that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. That's the end of your story. So when you know that, you can go through life with all the twists and turns. People come in, you think how, you know, or an event happens or a sickness comes or a tragedy or even good things and you think, I don't understand that. You don't have to because you've read the end of the story. And you know that your steps are ordered by God. And somehow, I don't know how, but somehow he will work it for your expected end. When I read the end of that story, there's a certain end that I expect to get to, that everything will work out to get there. You can be sure of that in your life because you have a purpose. God's written your purpose. He's written your plan. He has an assignment that only you can do. There is one sideline I'd make to that, that God has given you an assignment that only you can do. And I don't know what that is. And that's what Tim was saying last week. It looks, or a couple of weeks ago, it looks different for everybody else. And don't think that that means, and I think Tim was talking about that, it means being a worldwide preacher or being, it may be. It may be being a missionary. It may be being a teacher. It may be being a mum of some beautiful kids that are going to raise up and be something other. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know what that looks like. And God has an assignment just for you. But there is one sideline I like to make. If you don't do it, he will give it to somebody else. I do believe that. It's not his plan. It's not the way. But if you negate your responsibility, his will be done. Whether you choose to be part of that or not, it will be done. And he will give it to somebody else. That I don't want him giving my job to somebody else. I don't want that. I want to live out to my expected end. Romans 8:28 is just a scripture we know that clarifies that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So I've been talking a lot about purpose. I need you to think about what your purpose is. Like I said, there's that individual purpose, whatever that looks like for you. And you know what it is. You know what it is. Even if you're not sure of how it all is going to look, I know that you know what it is. Each one of us have that purpose. We're designed and created with that purpose in mind. I've said it from this platform before. God doesn't just, when you come to him and are saved, he doesn't just look at you and say, well, what am I going to do with all that now? Do you know what I'm saying? I've said it before, but it's important. He put you together before you were born with your purpose in mind. He saw the need and then he put you together to meet that purpose. Do you understand? He didn't just throw you together, you didn't just arrive on planet Earth and then there's a need and God says, oh, you know what, maybe she'll do to fix that. Maybe he'll do to fix that. Maybe Tim will do to go to India. Maybe, do you know what I'm saying? He saw that need. He put Tim together that way. He created him that way. He gave him those desires, those gifts, those talents. Before he even was here, he was designed to go and do that. Pam was designed musically. There's music in her, and it's for a reason, because God knew the children she was going to have. And the blessing that she would be. Do you know, he didn't just, when Pam got saved, think, what am I going to do with her? You know what, I think I'll just make her a worship leader. That's something she does all right. He designed her that way and made her to be that way. Even if you don't know what your purpose is, and God will tell you if you ask him. If you're sitting there today and you go, it's all right for Karen, she knows what her purpose is. He will tell you if you ask him what your purpose is. We each have one. Even if you don't know, I'm here to tell you one that you do have. God has given us all a common purpose. So turn to Matthew 28:28. I'm just making sure I know where we're going. So we all have individual purpose. We're all purposed to do something specific and unique, but we all have a common purpose as well. Does that make sense? Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our common purpose is to show people how to know Jesus, how to meet Jesus, and how to live for him. That's our common purpose. How do we show people? Some of us go overseas and do it overseas. Some of us do it in our home. Sometimes our own home can be the most hostile mission field that you've ever walked into. Sometimes. We do it by example. In the book of Ephesians, God reveals the way in which he is bringing his church, that's you and me, to its destined purpose. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, it teaches us that the body, which is us, is to express Christ's fullness on the earth. Ephesians 1:23 says, let's have a look at that, actually. Let me find Ephesians. Ephesians 1:23 says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So all of 1 Ephesians teaches us about who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, and we can be the fullness of Christ. Chapters 3 to 6 in Ephesians are equipping chapters and empowering chapters. They equip us, empower us to mature into his body. Moses and the children of Israel wandered. That's what they did, didn't they? For 40 years, they just wandered about, round and round, round the mountain, round in circles. A journey that should have taken 11 days. Someone will tell me whether I'm right or wrong. It could have been a quick journey. Took them 40 years. They wandered. They just went, they didn't have any purpose. They were just wandering. They'd been released from captivity, but then they were just wandering. But then in Joshua, we read a different story. Let's turn together to Joshua. Sorry, I'm taking you all over the Bible. Joshua 1. I'm going to start at verse 1 in Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And we'll stop there. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you will take this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. When Moses died, the baton was passed to Joshua, and the wandering ceased. They weren't wandering anymore. They knew where they were going. They had a purpose, and they went there, and they took hold of every promise that God had given them. The book of Ephesians tells us that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, that he chose us before the foundation of the world on purpose. You're not wandering anymore. If you've been wandering, it's time to stop wandering. It's time to get your purpose on, and it's time to do it on purpose and to get hold of every spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus. Are you living out of habit, which is wandering? When you're just living out of habit, getting up, doing the same thing today that you did yesterday because it's what you did the day before, that's just wandering. I had a dream last night, and I asked Wilma whether I could share this already because she was in my dream. And it was a very strange dream. You know how sometimes your dreams get all messed up? So I'm not quite sure how Wilma got into my dream, except that I had an appointment to get my hair cut. And Wilma cuts my hair. So that makes sense. But I went and picked Wilma up. Normally I go to her house. But this time I went and picked Wilma up. And my purpose for the day was to get my hair cut. But I went and picked Wilma up and we went everywhere. We went, maybe I've got Christmas shopping in my head, I don't know, but we went all over Melbourne. We went into shops and out of shops, and it started raining and we were, looking around, and I was getting lost, and I didn't know what I was doing or why I was there, and all these people were around. And it got to the end of the day, and I looked at my watch and it was 5 o'clock. And I sat down on the ground and I cried. And I cried because I didn't get my hair cut. And it was 5 o'clock. And the one thing that I had planned to do that day, I hadn't done. And I thought, God, you know what? That really does fit. We know what our purpose is, but we get so caught up in other stuff. And it can be good stuff, like I said. It can be good things. But if it's not the right thing, it's the wrong thing. Even if it looks good and even if it helps other people. You know, the Bible talks a lot about that, about good things. But Lord, I did this and I did that. And he said, go away, I don't even know who you are. And it's because it might have been a good thing, but it was the wrong thing for you to be doing. Are you living on purpose? Do you know your expected end? It's easy to end up on a detour. I've got detoured a lot lately on the roads. There's been a lot of roadworks going on, and it's easy to end up on a detour. But it doesn't mean that your final destination has changed. Sometimes we get on a detour in our life and we get there. And we think it's where we're on that road and we just have to keep going that way. I'm here today to tell you that's not the truth. If you're on a detour, there's a way back. Your final destination has not changed. Your purpose hasn't changed. Whatever it is that your individual purpose is, our purpose as a church, as a body, hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Our purpose as a body is to reach this community for Jesus Christ. It's to reach our families for Jesus and to let them know that they also have an expected end. How many people do you know that are just wandering? They're wandering around the same mountain, doing the same thing, going to the same family Christmas where they'll have the same fights that they had last year. It's true. They're even telling us on TV, you know, this morning I even saw 10 top tips not to have a big family fight at the Christmas table. That's really sad. That's really sad. That should not happen in any of our homes as Christians. That shouldn't happen in our homes. We have to remember what our final purpose is. And you might fight a good battle. You might win that battle, but you might lose that person to the Lord because you fought that battle. You need to have in front of you the final destination. Iris, why are you wearing that sling? Not because you want to. She doesn't want to wear that sling. The doctor told her she had to for a week wear that sling. And everything in her says, I don't want to do that. But she's doing it, not just because the doctor told her, but she knows that if she does, her final outcome will be that for a long time she can use that arm properly. Does that make sense? We have to be so careful. It's easy to end up on a detour, and I'm here, like I said, to tell you that if you're on a detour, there's a way back. I was brought up in a Christian home, you all know that. I've told you my testimony before, and I was, you know, I remember saying to my mum and dad, probably when I was about 5 or 6, that I was going to be a Salvation Army officer, and I knew there were things in me that God had put in from an early age. They were born in me. They were put in me. He destined me to be that. He put me together that way, and I just can't help it. I've tried to help it. I've tried to not talk so much. It doesn't work. I've tried not to be bossy. It doesn't work. It's just in me. He's put me together that way. And I went on some big detours in my life. And I decided to go on roads that I thought looked good. And they were good. I met great people, but they were the wrong road for me. And after many detours, I found my way back onto the right road. And it doesn't mean I don't still take detours. I take little detours every day. But I get back every morning when I come before the Lord, gets me back on the right path, gets that purpose in front of me. I actually wrote down my vision. We've talked about writing down the vision before, and I wrote down some things that God talked to me about a few years ago about my purpose and why I was put together that way, and I wrote them down. And I have them in my prayer journal, and there's many times where I go back and read those and I am surprised at myself. Think, God, how did I get so far away from that purpose? How did I wander so far off on the wrong track doing good things and I got off track and I get back on track? And what it does, it helps me to make decisions. When decisions come up, you know, we think about, does it fit my purpose? Does it fit my calling? Use this time when we celebrate that our Lord and Saviour came on purpose. He came on purpose. I can't get over that. He came on purpose. He knew what it would cost. He counted the cost and he came on purpose and he came with a purpose. Use this time over Christmas to reevaluate where you're going. To reevaluate, have you taken a detour? Are you living out of habit? Have you just been living out of habit? Even coming to church out of habit? Doing the same things that you've done every year, every day, out of habit? Or are you living on purpose, deliberately? Life doesn't just happen to us. We live life on purpose. Every path you take is heading you towards your expected end. God will get you there eventually. Your end, expected end hasn't changed. My expected end hasn't changed. And when I take detours and go off, like in that novel, when you go off and different things happen and different people come in, it just gets complicated. We make things so complicated. Still get to the same end. Why complicate it? Stay on your purpose, on your path. And as a church, I'm challenging us as a church that we stay committed to our purpose. That is winning this community for Jesus, winning our families for Jesus, living the example, getting into the book of Ephesians, and finding out what we are, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what our expected end is, learning as a church and as individuals how to be the fullness of Christ in this world. We are here for such a time as this. It's a statement we've heard before, but it's true. We were born and placed and planted here for this time. And I do not want Mombolt Christian Fellowship's assignment given to somebody else. I want us to lay hold of our assignment as a church, to be a church that knows what our individual purposes are and to be fulfilling that. And as a church, our corporate purpose, which is to reach and win souls for Christ. That in 2013 that we do that. Let's stand. And if you want prayer this morning, if you've gotten off track and you've been taking a detour, we want to pray for you this morning and help you to get on track. If you don't know what your purpose individually is, we want to pray for you because you have one. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. It's not a mystery. God knows and he wants to tell you. You know, it tells us in the Bible to pray for wisdom. And what does God do when we ask for wisdom? He doesn't just give us a little bit. He lavishes his wisdom on us. He lavishes it. He wants you to know what your assignment is, what your purpose is, and he wants you to fulfill it. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came on purpose, that it wasn't just a random act, that you didn't arrive here, Lord Jesus, and say, I've got to do something about this. It was planned before the foundation of the world, before any of us were even formed or created or planned. You knew that you would come on purpose and that you would be our Saviour. And Lord, we thank you at this Christmas time that as we do celebrate all those things, the fun things, the family and the food and the holidays and the gift giving and our expressions of love to each other. But Lord, that we remember that this, we have this time and this freedom because you came on purpose. You came on purpose to set us free. You came on purpose that we could live with you eternally, that we would not be separated from you, that our sins could be wiped clean, forgiven, that we could be redeemed and restored to you. And we are so grateful. And Lord Jesus, as a church and as individuals, we want to step into our purpose, winning souls for you, Lord Jesus. We want to be examples. We want to know who we are in you. And we don't want to be wandering in the wilderness anymore. We want to be a church and we want to be your children that step over that river, and say, I'm going to do it on purpose. Even though as I step into the river, it hasn't stopped, it doesn't look any different. We're going to put our feet in and we're going to walk across and say, as I do it, the Lord goes with me and has prepared the way for me. Lord, thank you that you have an expected end and that we will arrive at our expected end. And we trust you with the journey, Lord God. And we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. If you need prayer, come forward and we'll pray for you. And do it on purpose. Live with purpose over this Christmas time.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.